everyone. It's Daniel with your host of the Wichitaco Show. And I'm talking to you from House Otis with Otis in the audience, and he keeps trying to lick my face. You can probably hear him. Otis, I can't do. Wow. So, I'm going with it because I don't care. How's everyone doing? Thanks for all that were listening to last episode. Thanks to Rolls Royce for posting it everywhere. You were awesome at promoting my show. Thanks, man. What else is going on in the news? Oh, yeah, Robin Williams died. That's just plain terrible. Really bad. I don't know if you guys know, I did stand-up for a while, and I want to, like, you know, the whole thing is, like, the people that make us laugh cry the hardest. Yes, they do. They do. I mean, I've suffered from depression my entire life. I mean, one of the reasons I'm not doing stand-up as a career was just because I couldn't handle it mentally. I'd go to these one-nighters, I'd be basically hanging out by myself, and then your escape in those situations is to drink. And I'm glad that never caught on with me. But yeah, so like I get it. I understand where that pain comes from. And I'm letting you guys know, if you need someone to talk to, and you know me, feel free and contact me. Whatever, just get a hold of me because it sucks. I don't know how to describe depression. I've done a good job handling it. I go to meditation. I go to a therapist. It's just, you know, you have to have someone to talk to. And I know, like, for some, you know, like, I understand that it's, like, it's a hard thing to talk about. I understand some people just don't get it. But I understand how that darkness is. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of why I do this podcast. It's kind of like, you know, I want to talk to people. It gets me to talk to people. It gets me to better understand myself. And I hope the people that get on the show, it helps them, you know, like, get stuff out too. I mean, I might talk to someone here in a couple episodes about depression if that's something you guys would want to hear. Another thing I saw, like, people mentioning is just like how he affected so many people. He was involved with so many nonprofits and you know, charity work. Even like he visited Coco the Gorilla, and I don't know, like, it's really amazing how these people that are famous still give a lot of time and how that affects people. And I was never directly affected by Robin Williams, but I know people that have been. It's always been, what I understand, it's always been like a positive interaction. I guess to tie into this next guest is my friend Ryan Bitten. Me and Ryan have been friends since I was 5. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I was born with a Charcot-Marie tooth, which is a form of muscular dystrophy, which, even though Robin Williams didn't directly affect me, another comedian did, and that was Jerry Lewis, because of his celebrity power and, like, getting involved with the Muscular Dystrophy Association, that organization became a lot bigger than it actually would have been without him. And the Muscular Dystrophy Summer Camp that I attended through childhood, where I met Ryan, where I got to know Ryan, and where we became good friends, wouldn't have happened without Jerry Lewis. And so I guess that's why I wanted to bring up the Robin Williams thing, is this, it's amazing how, like, celebrities still affect people, even though not just through film and television, it's through these other things, too. And so I'm talking to Ryan on this episode. He's got a... He has Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. It's a terminal illness. He's 28. The life expectancy for someone with Duchenne's is 21. We're gonna hear his story. He's gonna mention some of his nonprofit stuff that he's organized and involved. Make sure you look for that. Coming Together for the Cure. I'll post stuff online. But let's just go ahead and jump into this. And I'm recording, so
stop the crinkling.
I'm here with Ryan Bitten.
Yeah, let me start this over. You can talk.
Okay.
So I'm here with Ryan Bitten, my oldest friend, not necessarily best friend.
Ever, but oldest friend?
Oldest friend. I think that's a different category, right? I mean...
Yeah. I have oldest friends that aren't the best, but they're golden.
Yeah.
Golden oldies.
We actually met... we're eating Taco Shop because we're doing it at your place in humble Bel Air.
We could have lied and nobody would have known.
Just made up a place, Taco Del Ranch. Taco Del Churro.
Okay, but back to how we know each other.
We were rivals, right?
Well, you were my backup.
The muscular... We were Jerry's kids. And I have... I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I was diagnosed with a Charcot-Marie tooth. It's a neuroapathy, but it's like... the treatment services are umbrellaed under the Muscular Dystrophy Association, or at the time they were. But... And you have Duchenne's, which is a way more severe... Muscular dystrophy.
Mm-hmm.
And you always tell me I have fake MD.
Well, you brought that up.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was poster child and representing the state of Kansas, and then they brought you in to be my backup in case I was sick or just didn't want the gig they were presenting that day.
Is that why all the gigs I went to were in western Kansas?
Probably.
I did like a donkey basketball tournament, like where people play basketball on donkeys. I had to go to a bunch of races out in western Kansas. Like,
you never actually told me how those events were. I don't remember actually turning them down or anything.
Your parents did.
Yeah, I'm sure my parents did.
Like, send in Daniel.
Yeah.
I think I threw a first pitch at a Wranglers game.
I've done that too.
Yeah.
Maybe you did the one after I did it.
It's seriously like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a death to Smoochie thing, which I couldn't think of a better reference.
That's a perfect segue into what's current events right now.
God. All right. I guess we can take a little break and eat our tacos, because...
Talk about Robin Williams?
I want to talk about Robin Williams. We can talk about Robin Williams, yeah.
Favorite movie?
Favorite movie. Miss Doubtfire.
Yeah, definitely. Probably me too.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to eat my tacos and we'll be back. You won't even notice we'll be gone because of recording. So, what's going on?
Other than eating tacos?
We're eating tacos. I'm here with Ryan Bitten, oldest friend, as I said before. We're just enjoying Taco Shop. What's up with you? I mean, I guess we mentioned before, we met through the Muscular Dystrophy Association in camp.
Camp was a big thing. You disappeared for like... 10 years or something.
I went there from like 5 to 6, and then I didn't come back until I was like 15. And then,
when you start out, we were like 6, and we had a female attendance.
Oh,
I remember,
man.
You're always trying to get with my female attendant.
I was 6. Weird. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. I was a weird 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, no, because they, like, flatter you a lot there. You're a kid, like, oh, he's Mr. Tough Guy. I was just wanting attention. Like, I was just like, I need attention.
Then why'd you disappear for so long?
I don't know. I think what was happening is, like, summer vacations were kind of coinciding with camp. Because, yeah, like, it was always the last week of July when my parents wanted to go to summer vacations. I think they moved the camp, and that interfered with summer vacations, so... Mm-hmm. I just stopped making it.
But then you made your comeback.
I don't know why I stopped going. I made, like, sporadic appearances. I came in, like, every now and then, like, every couple of years I'd go. And then I did, like, the last 4 years there. And then that whole thing happened, which... There was like some leadership issues with like the insurance policy and not wanting to cover certain people there, and so like this whole schism happened, and then a bunch of it became like a schism, and we were like on like the team, like one team, and other people were on the other team. And in hindsight, I feel like there was a lot of hurt feelings, but I mean, essentially what happened was people that were, they decided that anyone over 18 was not allowed at the camp unless they were a camper that had muscular dystrophy. So there's a lot of people that were just going to camp that were over 18, and they decided to change that to make it for children, and a lot of people were really upset about that. So.
So from then on, you didn't get your application in the mail? You weren't asked to come back.
No. I think I could have gone back one more year, and then I didn't go because they moved it from Chihuahua to Andover.
Yeah. I went one more year.
My girlfriend now went to Chihuahua as church camp, so we have all these weird shared memories. We were in the same place.
At different times,
but it's still like this weird, like, layered memory we both have.
Mm-hmm.
So.
This is cool.
So, you have Duchenne's, am I saying it right, muscular dystrophy.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be about just that. I mean, obviously, we're here to talk about other things you do. I mean, you're in a band. Concert, Coming Together for the Cure is your nonprofit. That's
what's filling up a lot of my time right now. That's what I've been doing all day today.
That's why I agreed to do this podcast. Gotta plug it.
This year's is September 13th, and it's going to be out at a farm at Mays at 53rd and Ridge. And this is the sixth annual one we've done, and it's been going really good, and it just keeps getting better. And
okay, why do you do this? Like, what's the point of this? I guess we need to talk about that.
About 6 years ago, a little over that, I started becoming involved in a stem cell research thing, seeing if stem cells would help with my disease, muscular dystrophy, because it was just to the point where something needed to happen because the disease had progressed so much, and there's never been any sort of treatment with MD, as you know. And a family friend is a research doctor that was down in Costa Rica doing stem cell therapy and having good results with other diseases like MS and cerebral palsy and spinal cord injury. And so he's just kind of always been on the lookout for treatments and stuff for MD, and kept my parents in the loop over the years since I was first born. And he said, let's just get Ryan down here and try it and see what happens. There's nothing negative that's going to happen. The worst that can happen is it just does nothing. So I went down there in 2007 or 2008 and got great results and started gaining some function back, and so ever since he just did that totally out of just him wanting to do it for me, nothing back. And so since we have had this benefit concert every year to kind of give back to his foundation, and hopefully it can help other people. And
that's the Aiden Foundation.
Yeah.
So you said no other treatment. So before this, like, you're one of the first people Duchenne's that was treated with stem cells.
Yeah.
And before, just describe what kind of, like, describe just, like, what was going. I guess my girlfriend just went to, like, a holistic fair, and there's a lot of people that are, like, hippies there, but there's also a lot of chronically ill people.
Yeah.
That are trying everything. And so before this, that's kind of what was going on, right? That's probably, like, before you started doing the stem cell thing, it was just like every other treatment for this, which there was no treatment. I mean,
yeah.
Outside of physical therapy and like...
The only thing we had tried and done was like in sixth grade, we got some steroids smuggled in from some country.
Like human growth hormone.
Yeah, this some steroid that we got like a year's worth, and we didn't see many results from it. I mean,
but your parents were going to that level. They were like,
yeah,
trying to.
The doctors kind of wrote it out on a piece of paper and kind of handed it to my parents. Like, here's a number for a guy that can get you what you need.
I just keep going back to the whole like Wichita, the Dallas Buyers Club. This
yeah,
is like you're the Wichita Buyers Club.
Yeah, and and actually, there's a huge movement in Dallas for. Stem cells anyways, which is kind of crazy. Same thing kind of, too. They're trying to push it, getting legalized down in Texas.
So what's the life expectancy?
With my kind of MD? Well, I'm way past.
It's like 21, right? Yeah, and you're 28. So, yeah. That's
So like I said, it was a crucial point 7 years ago. Where I was at the life expectancy, and you and I both have had so many people that we've known
lost
at MDA camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a while there around when I would like everyone, I would say between 18 and 21, if I got a call before 5 o'clock in the morning, it was probably like John from camp or you telling me we lost someone again. That happened pretty routinely.
Yeah.
For a while there.
And that's the big push for me right now is that I've been fortunate enough to be involved in this study, and I see the results, and it's not legal in the U.S. right now, and so it gets more and more frustrating every time I hear somebody that passed away from this disease.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, so. It's really moved me because you know, like. We became friends. I mean, we weren't friends in childhood. We became friends in teen life. And I'm just glad that you're still here and we're still friends. I mean, like, after I heard the news, I got a tattoo, which I told you this before. It's an atom because no offense to who was ever saying this, but this was during the Bush era. And Bush was, like, banning stem cells for religious reasons. Mm-hmm. And, like, people were going, God give Ryan a miracle. Thank God. Yeah. And I was like, nah, bullshit. Because... I was like, again, like I was 23, so of course I was like, yeah, that has nothing to do with God. And I know all these people that are like, have these like cross tattoos. And I was like, I want to get a cross tattoo that doesn't really mean anything. Because like, I'm not like a big science nerd. I don't study science. But a lot of people that have cross tattoos are like fake Christians, you know? So yeah. I wanted to be like into fake science. So
you wanted a rebellious spiritual tattoo.
Yeah, I wanted like got an Adam tattoo, and now it's everyone goes like Big Bang Theory or whatever. I just want to rip it off, but my doctor asked me about it. I told him that story. I was like,
well, how did your doctor see you without your
Yeah,
what are you doing without your shirt on at the doctor?
I was at the doctor. I'm like, well, it sticks out of my sleeve. And he's like, that's a cool tattoo. He's like, where'd you get that? And I explained that story to him, thinking he would, like, relate. Because normally, I get tired of explaining that story, so I just go, like, oh, carbon atom, we're all base elements. Like, that's what I tell people. So I go, like, oh, I tell him the story we just said about you getting... And he's like, he looks at me, he's like, he doesn't have to shanks.
What?
He just looks at me, he's like, he doesn't have to shanks. Like,
oh, man.
He has something else. He doesn't have... How old is he? 28? No. Like,
yeah, I've gotten that question.
You get that, don't you? I mean, like, doctors are baffled. They just assume you have another, there's another form of MD that sometimes they can only diagnose.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of skepticism in the MD community and stuff because everybody's so skeptical of any kind of treatment that comes out of left field like that.
And you were going to Costa Rica, but then Costa Rica banned it?
Well, they couldn't advertise there, and it just was a better deal to move it to Panama.
Yeah.
For the company itself.
Didn't you say, like, I guess it's not really a Hippocratic oath, but didn't you say there's guys getting penis enlargement treatments and shit there? Like,
yeah. I think, people with money, they'll... do some crazy stuff.
So, Where were we going? You're getting the stem cell treatments. I'm trying to think of what I was going to bring up next.
We were talking about the MD community, too, being down. Let's talk about Jerry Lewis and why you think he got... Why you think he just jumped ship.
I don't know why he jumped ship. Do you
know
anything
either?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm hoping that there's some light that comes from what happened. I still don't know.
I got a letter from him, and it was a form letter, kind of, but he signed it, but it was just... I wrote him a letter about thanking him for everything. It was
really?
Really cool. Yeah.
What age were you?
24.
That's cool.
It was, like, right after I started comedy. It's like, hey, I do comedy. I have muscular dystrophy.
And
like,
were you actually influenced by his comedy, too?
No, not at all. But, I mean, I wouldn't have done stand-up if I didn't have camp. I mean, I was getting up on stage at camp. That's where I got started. I mean, you're one of, like, the original audience members and probably influencers in me doing stand-up. I mean, you were, like, we were coming up with stuff, so, I mean.
The prank calls and stuff at camp.
Oh, God. One time we called the one guy, I think Cameron, we called his partner, his roommate, and I was calling and being like, is Cameron there? Okay, let me leave a message. My doctor told me I have to tell everyone I have HIV. Can you tell Cameron I have HIV and he might need to get checked?
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. I like the strippers you were calling and asking for escort services.
I don't remember that. Anyway, I know I was going to bring up. The stem cells, a lot of the controversy is over the stem cells. A lot of the controversy is over embryonic stem cells, and you've chosen not.
Well, it's not even a controversy anymore. That's what's, I mean, like you brought up the Bush era. I mean, that now is 20 years ago. Basically, you know, and like, I mean, I guess it's not 20 years ago,
like,
but
10 years ago. I mean,
but even back then, like, scientists and doctors weren't using stem cells, not as any sort of moral objection to them, but it just scientifically, they don't work great.
Yeah.
You inject an embryonic stem cell into somebody. And it grows a tumor is what happens a lot. So the moral issues aside, they're not effective even scientifically.
And so they've found better ways to.
Yeah, adult stem cells can be just as effective. I mean, that's what I use.
And you get donors from your family, your sister.
Originally, we did, but we found out that umbilical stem cells that. Can be just as universal and just as effective.
That's good.
So that's what we use now.
And do you phone yourself? Do you read stem cell articles all the time? Is that something you keep up with?
I mean, I do keep up with it, but you know that it's like Spanish to me.
Okay.
I don't speak Spanish, and some of the science behind it all, I just don't understand. It's so complex, but the basic. The basics of it, I get. I feel like.
So you start coming together or coming together for the cure, right?
For a cure.
Is there a website?
There will be soon.
Okay.
In the next couple weeks.
I mean, you could search "coming together for the cure" because you started out as you started out just like a benefit, right? That's how it started,
yeah.
Private auction, and then a couple years you started a compilation CD.
Yeah, we did. I tried to combine kind of the. Music aspect of it with the event
because you're in Sunshine
Dreamers still
is there,
right now recording project.
Do you do your tracks end up on the albums?
Yeah, they always tend to make their way into it.
But you've gotten some notable acts up here on like the second or compilation.
Yeah,
you can name drop.
Oh.
Get it out.
The OCs were a big one. That's kind of what kicked it all off, was the singer of that band I'd met and talked to, and he offered one of their tracks, and it kind of, I wasn't even going to do a second CD, but it kind of sparked the second one just because of him and his relations with a lot of other bands and them wanting to be involved in this. And actually, I'm still surprised when I go out and talk to people that I don't know and try to advocate this, how well-versed they are in knowing about stem cells and actually knowing that the controversy behind it's ridiculous and that how many good results they've read about and know about, and that aspect has been really cool. With these benefits is going to out in the community and meeting people and business owners and stuff and telling my story and stuff, but also just seeing how receptive they are to it and how well they already know about it.
Yeah, I've actually got to perform at one of the benefits. It was a weird... It's really weird doing comedy inside a pyramid.
Yeah, the acoustics aren't very well.
It's like everything travels up. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like everything travels up to the top of the pyramid. And, I mean, the pyramid being symbology for where someone, like, kills and, or is, like, dead.
Yeah. And the pyramid being the Reardon Clinic is...
The Reardon Clinic.
The Reardon Clinic.
I performed comedy inside a giant food pyramid.
Yeah. Well, they didn't they paint over that?
I think they painted over it. I remember driving by the dome.
That's what I know it as, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, and then we have, so you're doing the nonprofit.
Did you do any food pyramid jokes about?
No. I don't remember that. I was going to perform Panama by Van Halen.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be like, I learned it. I don't know it now, but I learned it for that night. But, like, the sound was so bad in there, it was, like, impossible to keep doing. But, not my worst show, but it's pretty standard for doing nonprofits or something like that. Definitely something I want to do is to set up PayPal for this episode and whatever donations we can get.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We'll definitely donate, so that's what I wanted to do for you.
That'd be awesome, hopefully, by the benefit.
So when's the next benefit?
September 13th.
September 13th.
And it's at this farm again that I used to live on for a while.
Oh, man.
At 53rd and Ridge. And this year there's a band that's originally from Kansas but moved to Nashville.
That's cool.
Playing called the Jared Daniels Band.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, I'm not a big country music fan.
I've mentioned this before, though. Country music is really weird because, like, I lived in Stillwater, Oklahoma during, like, Red Dirt Country, and it's like people expect you to know all these bands.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have no clue. I don't know what a Jason Aldean is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's big in Oklahoma. That's expected.
Yeah.
Kansas, it doesn't seem as expected that you know country.
Eastern Kansas, though. Like,
is it expected there?
We live in, no, like Western Kansas.
Oh, it's Western.
Like, yeah, I feel like Western Kansas is kind of a different state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. So you do this. You were doing it in Panama, and then you're doing it in Costa Rica, moved to Panama. And so, what's the news you had recently?
Well, here's the recent news.
All right.
The battle. The ongoing.
This happens at the end of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Who's playing you again? We talked about this.
Well, you thought that. Who did you think? Michael Cera's.
Michael Cera would be good. No, the dude. Paul Dano.
Paul Dano. Yeah.
Paul Dano. Paul Dano. I don't know who would play me, but it would probably have... I don't know. I'm not even in the movie, probably.
No, you'd make it. Yeah. You'd make an appearance, like...
I'd probably be played by Clark Gregg. Like, Clark from, like...
Clark Gregg.
The dude, the chubby dude from, like, Hot Tub Time Machine or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not important enough to this story to be Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Unless they were like, do you have a fat friend? Because Jonah Hill wants to be on this. And then they would, like, write my character in a movie.
Unless Scorsese was doing the movie. I'll do it for free.
So, in your movie, I'm played just by, like, some B actor or something. And then you're Paul Dano.
Okay.
And who's the doctor? Jeff Bridges.
I was thinking Jeff Goldblum.
There you go. Because of Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And Harrison Ford shows up as Harrison Ford. Because yeah. Didn't you run into Harrison Ford on one of your clinic trips or something?
We ran into him at the airport, and I had fallen asleep, and we were in one of those little VIP, what's it called, captain's lounges in the airport. We got comp to be in it, and I fall asleep in this chair, and my siblings are with me. Both come up to me and wake me up, and they're like, "Hey, we just met Harrison Ford, and we got his autograph for mom for her birthday and stuff." And I'm like, "Oh, cool." I don't see him. And
Was your mom like a big Harrison Ford?
Yeah,
fan?
She is.
Okay, so that's what it's like.
and my mom in high school looked like Carrie Fisher. Everybody says and stuff. So anyway.
So does Carrie Fisher play your mom? Is that?
Here we go. My mom's not as into alcohol as Carrie Fisher is.
Okay, so.
But anyways, so.
You meet.
So I get up and he's not around. And I figure he has already left. And my siblings both go off to do something. So I'm by myself. And up walks Harrison Ford with his hand out and just said, "Heard a lot about you."
Wow.
The introduction to Harrison Ford was him knowing about
more about you.
Yeah, so it was kind of a strange meeting.
And then he's just like, "Get on my plane."
Oh, and what do you talk to a guy that you've heard doesn't want to talk about his movies and stuff, so I just keep saying, "Heard you're in Wichita a lot."
What do you say to that? Because I did that with Will Wheaton. I was like, "Heard you hang out in Lawrence." He's like, "Yeah, well, I used to live in Topeka. I go to Lawrence to get away from Kansas." Like that's what I did when I met Will Wheaton. What did he say when he
just says, like, "Yeah, that's where I fuel my huge jet up in." I say, "Oh, cool." Not a lie. It wasn't that interesting a conversation.
Yeah, that's weird because he probably doesn't want to ask you about stem cells and having muscular dystrophy, right? Like, it's like, and you don't want to be the guy bringing. I feel like if you have a debilitating disease and you're in a wheelchair, and Harrison Ford's okay with you bringing up Star Wars at that point. Like, right? Like, he has to be okay because it's like, we either talk about Han Solo or we talk about why my ass is in a chair.
Well, he says, "I heard a lot about you," and I think, which part? So I didn't want him to clarify it.
I keep having this dream scenario because I know, like, every time you go into Connie's, like, there's a picture of him there.
And it's the worst picture ever.
I know.
Him just looking sideways.
No, there's a, if you go to, like, Paraphernalia, they have a picture with him from there. Because one of the girls that got a dress there was an Ender's Game or something.
Oh, really?
And it's, like, the same, every local business that has a Harrison Ford picture, it's, like, the same picture. It's, like, why is this camera here? I don't know. I don't want to be here. I just have this because, like, I haven't done it at Connie's, but I just feel like I'm going to be recording one of these and, like, Kirstie Alley or Harrison Ford's going to show up. And
well, it said, too, that more people think of Harrison Ford about Wichita when he just stops by here to fuel his plane. He's not even from here. We don't talk about Don Johnson as much.
No, just. Yeah, no one gives a crap about Don Johnson. He doesn't fuel his plane here. Yeah. The people that stop here are, like, guys that are into flying, like John Travolta.
Does John Travolta
do it? And I think, like, Ned Beatty. No, not Ned. Warren Beatty. The better Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think you were going somewhere.
Yeah, back to the movie. Okay. Yeah, okay, well, third act. So we see you growing up.
Let's break down the movie. No, this is where we're going. So since starting this from the beginning, the ultimate goal, obviously, is to get this therapy completely legalized and available in the States.
Yes.
But on the first step was to get it legalized just for me, and there's an exemption that the FDA offers called a compassionate use
exemption. Yeah, I saw Dallas Buyers Club. That's what you got in that movie. Yeah.
And so that, after 6 years and multiple times of filing for this, the FDA finally approved it a couple months ago, and I start my first treatment here in Wichita the first week of September. So after 6 years of battling the FDA, they finally caved.
That's awesome. So thematically, first act of the movie, you see her as a kid. Your parents are struggling to get you, like, you know, muscular dystrophy. They're trying to get you, like, treatments and stuff.
Yeah, the right kind of drugs.
Like, and you show the steroids thing. And, like, you start. You gotta get to the stem cell thing fast.
Yeah.
Because.
So then who would play me as a child?
I don't.
Because they can't be that big if it's such a short act.
Probably just some no-name kid.
Yeah, like the kid from Star Wars Episode 1 or something.
He's like 18 now. No, he's like 20. No, Mark. He's way too old.
Okay.
Just like the little kid from Breaking Bad. Like, the baby.
Yeah, oh, I thought.
I don't know who's going to play you as
well, that's
kid.
A girl.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, so. Like one of the Culkins, whatever Culkins left. Did they pop one out? Is it so? Okay, we get to the kid, and then second act is like the Costa Rica thing, and then third act is you guys are trying to like get the FDA to approve it, and then
okay,
post credits. That's when you pop it out and go like, da da da, Ryan Benton. This is, you know.
Maybe I'm like riding a bull or something like Dallas Buyers Club at the end.
Who plays the rock stars in your like? Do you like? The guys that are in the fans that are like your concert.
I don't know.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp
shows up.
River Phoenix.
So, I guess So you can. Are you getting the treatments yet? Is that something that's
starts
happening?
In September?
So we're at here in town. Or
in,
you have
at
to
the Reardon Clinic.
There you go.
Yep.
You should do like some legalize it stuff, but like. Syringes. Well,
we're trying.
But then everyone would say, no, like a shirt, this is legalize it.
Yeah, there's with no a syringe.
There's no stem cell symbol.
Symbol, right? Yeah, I know.
Because people would just think you're talking about heroin.
Yeah, there's no really heroin symbol either.
I think a syringe.
Syringe is it.
With like a rubber tie off.
Yeah.
Does it hurt? Describe what the treatment
is. Oh, yeah.
It's like super painful.
Well... They inject it into the muscle, so it's they have to do all the major muscle groups, and so it's about 60 to 70 muscle shots, and yeah, by the end of the thing, you feel like someone just beat the crap out of you. It's kind of like, they compare it kind of like to chemo.
Yeah.
At the very end, so. But.
But you're showing progress.
It's worth it, yeah.
Yeah. Anything on the horizon, yeah, other than the concert, and anything new? Any big surprises? You got any?
just in my life in general?
No, in the album, anything?
The Sunshine Dreamers have two albums in the works right now that we're recording and writing and working on. And
how about the compilation? Any?
We're not, no third one is in the...
I thought you're, so there's no... Third compilation yet? Okay.
Not in the works, no.
I'm terribly that.
If any artists out there want to start helping compile it, maybe, but right now I'm just not focusing on that.
This entire Flaming Lips, just like...
Them to contribute.
They just cover other songs from the album? That's...
Yeah, they cover the past compilations.
they just go to town on that Sunshine Dreamers track. It's amazing.
Yeah, they just... Yeah.
I wonder if that'll happen. We can make that happen.
Maybe.
I got a lot of Oklahomies that listen.
Yeah.
Go track down Wayne Coyne. Don't tell him anything I said about the headdress thing. And ask him to record a track for coming together for the year. And don't bring up anything I said about him being a racist.
Oh. Have you talked about that in your podcast?
No. I don't know.
Does anybody out there know that
that's
you're
dated
Comanche?
I've mentioned it a couple of times that okay. I'm Native American.
Why didn't you ever go to any Native American camps? Why only MD camp?
I went to a couple.
Did you?
Yeah, I used to go to stay with my grandma for a week and we'd go to day camp, but that was about it. There wasn't a sleepaway camp for Native Americans. I guess if they wanted you to live more like a Native American, you just join the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
One time I went to, like, a Children of Law Enforcement camp. Like, if your parents are law enforcement, you have to go to this camp.
Because your dad's a cop.
Which I feel like is just, like, the failed. Like, I feel like that's a setup for a movie. Like, a bunch of terrorists, like, take the kid cop, the cop kid camp hostage.
Yeah. How was that? What did that consist? What kind of games do you play at that?
I don't remember. I think it was like an egg toss.
Egg toss?
Yeah. It was like a day camp. Day camps are weird because I was so used to sleepaway camp for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have a counselor at cop camp?
No. Hmm. No. Yeah.
Just a free for all?
Yeah, just a free for all. It was a day thing. We left at the police department, got in a bus, went out to this camp, came back the next day.
Hmm.
Did you ever go to any other camps? You did Make-A-Wish, right?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about my Make-A-Wish story?
Yes, talk about your Make-A-Wish story, because this is really interesting.
Well, when I was in, I think it was fourth or fifth grade, the Make-A-Wish people approached my parents about giving me a wish. And,
And if they would have known about the stem cells.
Yeah.
They would have been like, no!
Premature wish. But, so then my parents tell me the news that I'm offered this wish or whatever, and I sit back
go nuts.
Just go nuts in my brain about what, if I can have anything I want, what do I want? And so the lady comes over and she says, okay, Ryan, we're ready to grant you your wish. What do you want? And I say, I think my parents are just like, oh, what's he going to say? They're all
there was
nervous.
No coaching. It was just there like was whatever little, you wanted.
There was a little bit of coaching. And that's where it's going. So they say, you know, what do you want your wish to be? And I say, I want to meet Weird Al Yankovic. And my parents just cringe.
Oh, God. And the guy from Make-A-Wish is like, I got this. Don't worry.
This will be a simple phone call. And so, my parents totally shot that down. We're like, I think he means he wants the family trip to Walt Disney World. So that's what ended up happening.
Do you think that was your parents' call or your Make-A-Wish's call? Like,
it was just like, Ryan, do not do this.
Have you got to meet?
No, I still haven't.
Okay, forget everything I said about talking to Wade Coyne.
Weird Al, yeah.
Anyone can get a hold of Weird Al.
Yeah, I'd rather him cover one of our tracks. I mean, that is honestly like top wish is Weird Al to cover one of your tracks.
New mega wish to have Weird Al cover one of
parody.
A parody.
Yeah, a parody is when you made it. If Weird Al parodies,
I would rather
song.
Have him do like the polka cover. Like,
That's like 10-second spot in a medley.
Yeah, that's probably what you would get realistically.
That probably is.
Given his time, yeah. He's hot right now. I mean,
I think this last album was number one, wasn't it?
I saw that, and they're doing like a 25th anniversary of UHF.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the release. Which
I searched high and low for that movie when I found out he had a movie out.
Take you forever to find it.
I had to order it from Suncoast.
I rented it from the 21st, where I worked, the Dillon's. I had to rent it from Dillon's. We tracked it down, too.
And did you just keep it?
No, I just watched it a couple times. I want to get a DVD copy now, because I haven't seen it forever.
I've got one if you want to borrow it.
I'll watch it. So
speaking of movies, are we going to talk about the recent?
What recent?
Oh, I guess we did talk about Robin Williams.
We covered Robin Williams.
We covered.
All right. So did you ever get to meet Robin Williams? Was that?
No, but like I said, he has done a telethon spot. And that's actually one thing. I mean, this is a far, far dream, but I think it would be awesome to get some sort of spokesperson for Coming Together for a Cure and, you know, take on that, like, telethon-type role. Like,
that'd be cool.
There really isn't one of those
things.
You
need, like, a Sean Penn.
Yeah.
You need someone to just...
I don't know who it would be, but It's like Jerry Lewis just took on MDA and made it a household name and kind of raised awareness for it and funding, obviously, too. And it just doesn't seem like there's any program like that or any celebrity that takes on such a heavy load or whatever like he did.
I know, we just need to, like, find someone, get them drunk, and make it look like they murdered a homeless person.
And then blackmail them?
Yeah. It's like, we can call the cops, or we have this thing called the Aiden Foundation.
Yeah.
At,
I don't know how well that's going to work.
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
good. So Coming Together for a Cure. No new album, but we can buy the albums where?
The benefit compilations? Yeah. iTunes. Hair House Records. It's a local...
Hair House Records.
Okay. Yeah, they sell the new one. And yeah, and all the proceeds from that go to the benefit, and so there's ways to and just come out to the benefit. That's the most important part. Like I said, that band, Jared Daniels' band, is playing this year, and I'm sure there'll be a couple more.
All right, man. Well, thanks for talking to me, old friend.
Yeah.
Good times, maybe we could get together again and just go talk about camp and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Thanks, Ryan. And yeah. Again, we'll post some of that stuff up on the website. So.
Cool.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for that. Was a great episode, I hope. I liked it a lot. Ryan's one of my best friends. So, yeah, make sure you, like, look into that. I think it's Coming Together for a Cure. The concert's coming up. I'll keep posting about it. And make sure you go to iTunes and download Coming Together for the Cure compilation albums, because they're really good. Thanks for listening. If you want to get a hold of me, email me at wichitacos@gmail.com. Have a good week.